Hello. You're listening to the KGFC Festival Talks podcast. I'm your host, Craig Horsley, and we're coming to you from the Kew Gardens Festival of Cinema running from August 3rd to August 12th. And we're screening our films at the UA Midway in Forest Hills, which is on Continental Avenue and Queens Boulevard, and also at the Queens Museum, located in Flushing Meadow Corona Park, which is the home of the 1965 World's Fair and the iconic Unisphere. We are speaking today with Jonathan Oliveira, and he is the filmmaker of Kew Gardens' Save the Bridge. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hi, Chris. I've
been really excited about meeting you because, number one, you're definitely our youngest filmmaker in the festival. You did this while you were in high school.
Yeah, I did.
And also because the topic of the of your documentary is very personal to the festival and to the neighborhood. So can you elaborate on how you came up with this idea, why you did it, and some of the challenges you had doing it?
Well, it first started off with me, I think it was November of 2017, I believe. It was I was doing the one-week film program with Jason Simba, the founder of the festival itself, and I concluded the program, and then he came up with the idea of just, like, the opportunity of, like, going with this, making a film about this issue, and no one really was stepping up at the time, and I was just like, well, I live here, and I was like, I really love making movies, so I was like, why not? You know, it's a challenge and that I wanted to take up, and it was really cool. I got to get to know a lot of the store owners on the bridge itself. I got more connected with the people there. It was really life changing. Like, I got to feel like people's, like, motivations as to, like, why their own, like, personal unique reasons as to why they wanted the bridge to stay, and just, like, it was more than just making a profit and, like, keeping their stores open. It was just, like, because they felt like they wanted this community bond to, you know, stay alive, and they just didn't want their home to be taken away.
And you met with some of the store owners, some of the residents.
Yeah.
How did you get them to talk? Were they very easy to get them to talk?
Some of them were come stepping forward because they wanted their voice to be heard. It wasn't that hard to find people to speak to because everyone had their own, like, they wanted their voices to be heard. They were really anxious about it, too, because they had a lot to say to the MTA and just, like, they were just really, really, like, nice people, though, to me. Like, they were just like, oh, hey, can I say this? Can I say that? And they were just, like, also kind of hesitant because they didn't want to say the wrong things and, like, you know, lose credibility with, like, certain things. And but they're all really nice people. I love, the Thyme Natural Market, Natalie. She's also, like, she was, like, one of my first ones. And, like, I remember during her interview, it was, like, really genuine. Like, she just started crying during hers because, she, like, it, her store and just, like, the community meant so much to her, and, like, the thought of losing it just, like, broke her heart on camera. Just, like, made me choke up a little bit too. So it just, like, it shows how much it means to these people, you know.
So just to let our listeners know, there's a bridge in Kew Gardens,
right, yeah,
that goes over the Long Island Railroad,
mm-hmm,
and there are actually shops on the bridge.
Yeah.
And there's a concern that the MTA may tear down the bridge.
Right, yeah.
And all these business owners will lose their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
So you took it upon yourself to actually talk to these business,
yeah,
holders and hopefully with your film get it to the MTA or,
right,
whoever. So did you send this to city officials or the MTA?
I personally didn't. I know Renee Levine and Sylvia Hack, they both have, like, big connections with, like, people up in the city hall and stuff like that. And they, I think they conducted a meeting with the MTA themselves, and they asked me to make, like, a shorter version of the documentary itself to, like, show, like, a snippet of, like, what people's reactions were to this. And I believe the MTA now is, like, under, like, new management and all that. Like,
yes,
they changed everything, and they agreed to repair the bridge itself, and they funded the whole thing, and I think it's going to stay. It's going to stay. Everyone's happy about that.
So you actually had an architect or an engineer you interviewed.
Yeah.
Where did you find that person?
It's all Carol. Carol Lags. She is the greatest producer of all time. Like, she put me into to contact, like, I think almost every single one of these shop owners, because, I mean, she's one of the reasons why the film also got made itself, because she told me about Al Brand and how he had this initial idea of just, like, what can be done to the bridge and how it can be possibly even saved without, like, that, like, a whole new, like, piece of, without, like, the whole need of reconstruction. And he just like told us about this feasibility plan that he had about like just putting new molding underneath like the bridge and just like instead of restarting from scratch. And just, it seemed like a feasible like idea to come up with, and I was really impressed with him. He's a brilliant guy to talk to. But yeah, it was really cool to talk to him.
So, is the bridge saved?
It is. It is. Thankfully.
Oh, wow. That's that must make you feel great.
It does. It does. It's like a weight off my shoulders.
That I mean, it's so much to be proud of at such a young age. And the film, how long did it take you to make the film? And then did you do the editing afterwards? Or
yeah, a lot of it was mostly me. It was me and my two other crewmates, Whitley Darby and Georgie Ortiz. It took about 4 months, I believe, to shoot, edit, and all that. And yeah, I mean, I did the a lot of the shooting, camera work, lighting, editing afterwards was mostly like 100% me. But like, you know, they also helped me out with like carrying equipment and just like asking questions, interview, because I couldn't have done it all by myself. This is a really big project, so I appreciate them for sticking by me, you know.
And how old are they? And
they're also now it's cool too, also 18 years old, just like me. But yeah, just they did me a favor, and just like it ended up in the festival. I cannot never thank them enough for what they did for me.
So your first film at 18,
yeah.
Which actually had a great social cause and a great social result.
Yeah.
What's your future? Do you want to go into film?
Yes, I do very much. I don't see myself doing anything else besides film. I feel like there's no purpose without it, and I feel like this is what I want to do forever. I would just want to keep making meaningful films that touch people's hearts and, you know, make them be more open-minded about different topics and situations and create conversations about real-world things, you know?
So now this was a documentary.
Yeah.
When you're talking about what you want to do about film in the future, do you want to do shorts, full-length narratives?
Yeah, full-length narratives is really much the end game for me. I want to inevitably become a director, most and foremost. But I'll do whatever it takes to get there, you know, shorts and whatever it takes, like little jobs up until then I want to do, but to get to the top, I know it takes time, but I'll keep working until I get there.
Do you have any stories in mind already?
Yeah, I have a couple scripts written down. They're really like, not fully finished yet, but they're all ideas, you know. I can't wait to like fully flesh them out when I start school in college and get them shot for like projects and stuff like that. So.
And you're already accepted into a college?
Yeah, yeah.
In New York or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, New York upstate.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just so impressed with what you've done already. Who are some of your idols that you look up to?
Definitely George Lucas, because I'm a huge Star Wars nerd. He was one of the guys who got me into filmmaking, actually. I watched Star Wars, I think, when I was like 4 years old, and like from that moment on, I remember watching like all these like crazy effects and like storytelling, and I was like, wow, I want other people to feel how I felt watching this with my own ideas and own crazy stories that I want to tell. And that from that moment on, it's what the career that I wanted to do, you know?
So you're talking about the camera and the lighting. Did you own that? Did you rent it? How did you get all this equipment?
It's the investments that I've made over the course of my young life. I bought my own camera, tripod, my own softboxes, camera, mics. I only had to borrow a couple things from school while I was in it at the time, but most of it is my own that I had to buy myself, yeah.
So you've had, when did you realize that you wanted to be in the film business?
I'd say at around like 10 years old, I was like, yeah, this is it. This is the end game. This is what I want to do. And that from then on, I started collecting a bunch of equipment so I can eventually do it. Like, I'd make like short little films at home, like really like low quality stuff. But, you know, they were fun at the time. And I was like, you know, as long as I'm having fun, this is what I want to do.
So you're in a much younger generation than I am. And you are used to seeing films on your camera, on your phone, on an iPad. Where do you usually see your films? Do you go to the movie theater?
Yeah, I hate, first of all, I hate like watching movies on my TV because I feel like it's not the same experience at all. I mean, I know that nowadays the price of admission is really expensive. It's about like $20 just to get in to watch a film, but it's more of a picking choosing, because I know like you can't afford always to go to every single movie, so when I see something I really want to see, I have to like make it my first top priority to go to the theater and experience it with the, you know, surround sound and like the big screen and all that to get the full effect. Because I don't just, it's not, it's the only way to watch a movie, you know? It's the only way.
And you want to see it with other people, because that just makes the audience...
Yeah.
Is sometimes 80% of the film, especially
Definitely.
With a comedy.
Definitely,
or...
Definitely, yeah.
And so the films that you have in your head, would they be, are you more of a comedic person or a drama, or what do you think?
I'm more of a, like, action adventure type of flair to, like, my stories. They usually, when I come up with, like, I have ideas and I start writing them down, they're usually about, like, my protagonist, like, traveling the world and, like, solving, like, these different issues and obstacles to, like, get, you know, to, like, define their end game and their goals. And I don't know, I just love the idea of just, like, having a good fight in a movie and just, like, seeing that go down. And I'm amazed with, like, choreography and how it's done nowadays. And just, like, it's really neat to watch, you know. I really, really enjoy those types of films.
Well, I think those are going to be a little bit bigger budget than your documentary that you...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And how did you finance this, the film that you did?
There was no financing at all. It was completely, there was no budget. most of it, because I had said I already invested in a lot of the equipment prior, and stuff that I needed, I just borrowed from my school, so I didn't really have to put any money at all into it. So it was purely out of passion and, you know, commitment and determination to complete it. So
you had quite a few interviews. Where were they held? Were they held in a restaurant?
Most of them were held in each of their stores, honestly. I know that, for the shop owners, they were held in their stores. And for some of the residents, they were held at Austin Ale House.
Okay.
They were kind enough to let us use the back room so we can, like, film and get some interviews done. And it was a really productive day. It was about, like, 10 or 12 interviews done right one after the other. It was really cool. It was really cool.
So now that you've saved these businesses, are they giving you a discount when you go and shop there?
No, but they always, like, they see me, they're like, oh, it's a friendly face, it's you, it's Jonathan, they know me now, so I guess some sort of recognition now after all this, so it's good.
Get your picture on the wall of the Austin Ale House as up and coming filmmaker from our own neighborhood, Kew Gardens.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say I'm really impressed with what you've done.
Thank you.
I think that people will look at this and see that you have a bright future. And any advice to anybody out there?
I'd say to even younger filmmakers than I am, I guess just keep pushing forward. You know, just don't let anyone say that you're too young to, like, make a film, because, you know, in the end, it's all about passion and creativity, and you won't know if you can't do it if you don't at least try.
Well, I thank you for being here, and I think the Kew Gardens community thanks you for being here also. I really am very impressed with what you've done and what you're going to do in the future.
Thank you.
So, but before we leave, I'd like to thank our wonderful sponsors, Blog Talk Radio, for providing an excellent platform for our podcast. I'd also like to thank Ateez Cafe in Kew Gardens. They serve wonderful organic coffee and tea and baked goods, and they're located on Metropolitan Avenue. For those who are in the neighborhood and they've bought a ticket or have a badge for the film festival, Ateez is actually giving a 10% discount on their coffee, tea, and baked goods through August 12th, which is the end of our festival. And for more information on the festival, and you may still be able to purchase some tickets for some shows in the next few days, go to our website, www.kewgardensfestivalofcinema.org. And thank you so much. And this is Craig Horsley signing off. Bye.